everybody. We are off and running. It's Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show the day after the Arizona primary. It's Wednesday. It's the first Wednesday of the month of August. It's the 5th. We bring people together, at least we try very hard each day to bring everybody together on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman Democrat Steve Kasacek, for his monthly visit with the Buckmaster Show listeners. Councilman, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Bill?
Pretty good. Thank you for asking. Let's have your remarks to begin with about yesterday's election. There were a couple of big surprises.
Well, there were, and I'm absolutely interested in talking about that. I do want to say one thing real quickly, though, because the election gets us a kind of on a glide path towards November, but there's some important dates ahead of that. People need to fill out their census form. And I just wanted to get that out there so before we got into the rest of this stuff. The census timeline is shortened up now. We're going to have you go online, go to 2020census.gov and fill it out, get that survey in, because it affects tens of millions of dollars for this region over the next decade. So anyway, wanted to get that out there. Yeah, there were some interesting results yesterday. I was watching three races. One is the entire Board of Supervisors. We work very closely with many of them. Sharon Bronson is going to be she'll probably win her general election, and I'm assuming Steve Christie is not going to have much of a problem. So they're going to be three new faces joining that board. Rex Scott is a guy that I've been supporting all along. He and I've worked together for the last nearly a decade now. Very quality guy. No real surprises. Adelita Grijalva is advancing to the general. And probably the most surprising one is Matt Hines upsetting Ramon Valadez in the primary. Matt and I shared some texts last night. Oddly enough, he had volunteered to work at TMC, and he's a physician, and so he was working in the healthcare field while the primary was happening. So very quality group of people, and they will join a very quality group of administration over on the county side. It'll be interesting to see what Matt brings to the table, assuming he gets through the general, with his medical background. Rex Scott has a strong education background, as does Adelita, and so they'll bring a new skill set to that board.
Yeah, I wouldn't count Rex Scott out and just think that Steve Spain is a shoo-in. Steve Spain is Allie Miller's choice, because it'd be very interesting to see if Rhonda Pena's forces coalesce around Rex Scott. And that district, that's my district, district number one, Steve Kasacek. It's a purple district now. There's only a 3,000 difference between the GOP and the Democrats, with the GOP with the advantage.
There were a lot of people surprised that Rhonda did not win that, win on the Republican side. I think that your analysis is probably right on, and that is that many of her supporters are going to find Spain a bridge too far, and Rex is a moderate, and he's not going to put off the purple voters, the people, the independents, and the moderate Republicans who may not want to see another round of Allie Miller. So I think that Rex is a legitimate shot, and the Pena supporters might be really amenable to flipping over and supporting Rex.
And Laura, I wanted to say Laura Conover will join us along with Jim Nintzel and Dan Scheer in the second half hour of the program today. That's a 40-year change of direction for the Pima County Attorney's Office, starting with Steve Neely, then the disciple of Neely, Barbara LaWall. So this is a huge change.
And that was exactly the next race that I was going to. Laura Conover beating Jonathan Mosier was... I guess you have to call it a surprise, and I don't know that it's a statement on Barbara LaWall necessarily, but maybe a statement that the voters in this community are saying we want some change in our legal system. I know one of the couple of the areas that Laura champions include things such as let's not fill our jails up with people who are convicted of possession of small amounts of low-end dope, and that's probably something that let's get people into treatment instead of into prison. And so that's one of the areas that that she's going to champion going in, and I think that she's going to find a lot of community support for that. The area that she and I shared some exchanges on have to do with the Jenna Ayoub case, and as the final week of the campaign came down, there were some people from Mosier's campaign were saying that she was taking donations from the guy who shot Jenna, and she immediately returned them as soon as that became known to her. Kudos to Laura for recognizing that situation. But I think that you're right. I mean, that's a big change. She doesn't have a prosecution background. She was a public defender, so it will be interesting to see how somebody with that background manages a department of prosecutors. And that'll be some interesting conversations to be a fly on the wall for some of those. Will be interesting.
All right, we have two important issues to take care of while we have you this morning. Excuse me, this afternoon. COVID-19 cases are dropping, and the other item I want to get to before the end of the half hour, TPD, another suspect in custody death. Is this a troubled department, Steve?
No, and so let's talk about that. No, it's not. Let's talk about the in custody fatality yesterday. It was 2:30. How much time do we have before the break?
So that's why I wanted to kind of see if the time this out here. Quarterback, the time management is very important, as you know. We have about 4 minutes before the break, 3.5 minutes.
All right. I'll make sure I get it done. So the situation that occurred yesterday, it was 2:30 in the morning. A 90-something-year-old gentleman called 911 saying there was a prowler in his backyard throwing things around. TPD showed up at the site and found the guy on the ground in the backyard. He was a 29, 30-year-old guy who was clearly ODing on something, overdosing on something. They tried to administer Narcan, thinking it might be an opioid. They gave him two doses of that to no effect. They took him out into the carport so that the paramedics could get to him. It would have been tough to get a gurney back to where he was in the backyard. And the paramedics showed up, and he was dead when they showed up. That is technically called an in-custody fatality. They did everything they could to save the guy. And so that, while it falls under the umbrella of TPD, has another in-custody fatality on their hands, it was a situation where the police showed up and tried to save a man's life who was in a guy's backyard at 2:30 in the morning. So I'm just hoping that the community understands that when you put something under that umbrella of a category, let's look at the facts and make sure that we understand the circumstances behind the incident before we just start tossing it into the George Floyd incidents of the world. And so that's important for people to realize. TPD, Chris Magnus, Chief, have acknowledged, so have we on the council acknowledged, that the Lopez incident was not indicative of the training that our cops receive. And they need to up their game, clearly, in terms of that training and the way it's implemented across the board. But part of that is our having put $4.5 million into a new social service support network in this budget cycle. The cops already work with crisis response units and social service agencies all over town. It's not like this is something new for them. The community policing is widely embraced in this community, which requires more cops, not fewer. And so that's a little bit of a commentary on why I did not support the defund movement. We need to put money into the agency. We need to give them the support that they need in other skill sets that involve things such as de-escalation, other skill sets that involve things such as social service support to get people in drug treatment and rehab that we are already doing. But the incident yesterday was not indicative of a couple of bad cops out doing bad things.
All right, we'll take the break right here. Steve Kasachek sticks around. We have a very full hour. Laura Conover coming up in the 12:30 to 1 hour, along with Jim Nintzel and Dan Scheer. Back with Steve Kasachek talking about the drop in coronavirus cases. What does that mean for the city? Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. And let's go back to the Live Line and Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. There is good news, Steve. The trend for COVID-19 cases in Arizona is dropping. Some of your thoughts on this progress.
Okay, first of all, I want to say this, because before we run out of time, good for you for recognizing the importance of that Conover win. There are not a lot of people in journalism in this community who would have known that history. We have this two-year cycle in a lot of our media sources these days where you get a young person out of school, they're here for 2 years, they're gone. It just speaks to the value of having somebody like you in the media and being able to bring this information that really puts in context the what an important outcome that was yesterday. So anyway, I just wanted to blow you a little bit of a kiss.
Well, thank you. And one of the first interviews I did at Channel 6 in 1988 was then Governor Meekum, of course. That was right with the impeachment. But the next day, I think Steve Neely, the Pima County attorney, was my guest. So I remember the Neely days very well. And then when he decided to leave, and I think he wound up in New Zealand.
That one I didn't know. But so anyway, it's important to have the institutional knowledge that you bring. And so that's one of the reasons I'm glad you're on the air. So,
well, thank you very much.
There's that. COVID. I follow these, follow the numbers every day. Early in the week, they were down around 1,000 new cases per day statewide. Unfortunately, today they bumped back up to about 1,600. But if you compare that to where we were even 2 weeks ago, they were around 3,000. So we're about half of where we were. Hopefully, with the public schools opening and the U of A opening, we don't see that spike back up again. I'm concerned about both of those things happening in the next 4 or 5 weeks. Bottom line, the virus is the one who sets the rules of the game. And so far we've seen when large gatherings start happening, wherever it is in the country, or after the 4th of July, after Memorial Day, the numbers do what they do and they go back up. So hopefully we can get through the public school opening and the U of A and not see a new spike. But in the last 10 days or so, I've been in touch with multiple merchants along the 4th Avenue and downtown to talk, and the city manager and some of our planning people, to talk about how do we perhaps expand business premises out into the street even. And so they can safely serve customers outdoors, and out, because a lot of people still aren't going to go inside a restaurant. But if we can expand their premises outdoors, even talking about possibly shutting down one lane of traffic on 4th Avenue and setting up some socially distanced, safe retail opportunities for some of those merchants. So those conversations are going on. We couldn't have had the conversation, a month ago, because the numbers were just going in the wrong direction. Another conversation that I've been having with the city manager and staff is with our parks people. Our parks have been shut down, talking about outdoor pools, playgrounds, some of the racket sports, reopening some of them, again, with the understanding that social distancing is still part of the rules of the game. Masking up when you're around the playground. We're going to try and enlist the parents to help do some of the cleaning once their kids get off the playground equipment. We'll have to put the gear there to clean with, but enlist them as a part of the solution as well. It was interesting that yesterday the court issued an interesting decision for the governor, and that is with the gyms, indoor gyms, who filed a lawsuit that they felt that they were being treated unfairly. While you have groups such as grocery stores and restaurants allowed to open, the gyms were shut down. And the court said yesterday to the governor, you've got a week to give them the rules to allow them to at least meet some guidelines to reopen. And I think that's a fair decision as well. We have a lot of local gyms here in town that have equipment that was spaced way more than 6 feet apart, and they were going to monitor the number of people in at a given time and do the cleaning and all that. And I think the court came to the right conclusion, is that if you're going to tell somebody they got to shut down while you're having other retail operations that are open that cannot social distance, then in fairness to them, due process, give them some metrics to try and meet. And so the governor's got now the meter's ticking, less than a week to tell the gyms how to open. So I hope this all keeps going in this direction, Bill. But again, the big caveat for me is what happens here later in August, when we are inviting people into bigger gatherings in schools and on the U of A campus, and that's going to be the real test.
Yeah, I think with the schools, there will be very limited in-class participation. I think that might help the situation there. For the U of A, I really don't have a handle on it. You know probably better than I do on any given day how many people that work at the U of A and how many students and professors. I don't know what that's going to look like, whether it's going to be maybe 25% of normal. Do you have any kind of feel for that?
Yeah, so the game plan right now that, again, all pending, you know, the trends happening in the current direction. Bobby Robbins, the president, has had Richard Carmona working with the College of Public Health and the Pima County Public Health Authority people to put together a game plan. And right now it is beginning on August 24th. They will invite back to campus about 5,000 students. Those students are going to be largely involved in the kinds of fields where you have to have in-person contact, such as the performance arts, research, a lot of the medical fields, those kinds of things. The following week, there will be another 5,000 to 6,000 people invited back onto campus for in-person classrooms. They will be set up at substantially reduced capacity, 50% or less. And then the following week, the week after Labor Day, the full group of people coming back, and that will be probably in about the 25,000 student range for the rest of the classes. And that's about half the normal capacity for on-campus participation. They have right now around 5,000 students who have put down a deposit for dorms. Before they will be allowed to check into the dorm, they're going to be given an antigen test, which you can get the results in 15 to 20 minutes. If they test positive, they will be put into self-isolation dorm, Babcock, off campus, and they're going to have to stay there for 10 days until they test negative. So they're taking a lot of the proper protocols. They have completely conceded the fact that while we can do our best to control the activities while students are on campus, once the sun goes down, all bets are off, and it'll be the honor system and hoping that the students don't go down into the bars or the large frat parties or whatever off campus, because that's where the wheels are going to come off and that's where the infection's going to start spreading. And so we were both college students and we did what we did, and that really hasn't changed a whole heck of a lot in the last several years since we were on campus doing that stuff. And that's where the flaw in the plan can expose itself. And so that's what they're hoping for, is that peer pressure, education, big education, and really letting students know that the age cohort where we are still seeing the greatest number of infections is 20 to 44. And that is the student population, and it is a lot of the young professor population. So that's where the wheels could come off, if they are going to come off.
Are they allowing sororities and fraternities to open as usual, do you know?
Yeah, they're opening on campus again with the limited capacity, the social distance, and all that. So there is going to be an on campus component of that, but the same as with the dorms, it's not going to be you know, cramming, you know, four to six people in the rooms, where we don't have, where the university does not have this, the control that they do for the on-campus folks, are these towers, the student housing towers off campus. And again, we're just, that's a situation. They're privately owned, privately operated, and one would hope that the management companies of those dorms understand that this is a new situation, and it's not where you can go and put four, six, eight people in a room the way you've done in the past and maximize your profit, because that's not what this is about. This is getting us through this first semester as safely as possible, and seeing how the dust settles at the end of this calendar year, or we know what's going to happen next semester.
Just a few seconds left. Will students who don't abide by these rules be disciplined with perhaps expulsion?
Bobby Robbins, president of the university, has been very clear, saying that if you're not going to play by the rules, we will reserve the right to throw you back off campus again, and yes. And so he's been very clear about that. This is a guy with a medical background, and he's an OBS guy. He's not gonna allow students to come in and compromise the health and well-being, not only of the rest of the people on campus, but of this entire community. And so he's been very clear and very serious about that.
All right, Steve Kasacek, thank you. Always a pleasure, and we'll be visiting with you next month. So we'll know a lot more when we have your visit in September. So I assume then the city will watch this very carefully to determine moving forward with restrictions and whether or not park restrictions will be lifted, correct?
Yeah, I hope you're going to see something on the parks sometime next week.
Really?
We're going to be monitoring the data. Pima County puts out the health data every single day, and we've got a team that's watching that.
All right, Steve Kasacek, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Dan Scheer is up next from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan is also the editorial director for WIC Communications. Jim Ninsel from The Weekly joins us, and Laura Conover will be calling in as well. Very full half hour coming up. Be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. What a busy hour for the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show Liveline is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Check out Green Things, 50 years and still growing, 3384 East River Road. It's where I go to get all of my wonderful plants, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. 3384 East River Road, beautiful location. Also, ZocaloVillage.com. All right, Dan Scheer is with me in studio, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. He's also WIC Communications editorial director. There's WIC has two dozen papers in the Western United States. Dan kind of lends his expertise helping those folks out. Jim Nintzel is with us on the live line, the editorial executive director of executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, first of all, how are you?
Oh, doing good, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. And Dan, I think a couple of big surprises. And by the way, we have Laura Conover. Laura, if you'll just hang on just for a couple of minutes there while I get some remarks from Jim and Dan before we go to you. The biggest surprise of the night, the Dr. Matt Hines defeating Ramon Valadez, Dan.
Yes, that's my supervisor district, and Ramon actually lives not far from me in Sahuarita, and very surprised that he went down on this one, and Matt Hines is finally looking like he might get that public office he's been after for a while. He'll have to face Anthony Sizer in the general election, a Republican who's also run for legislature a time or two. And but yeah, a very, very big surprise.
Jim Nintzel, name recognition does matter, doesn't it?
Well, apparently. I was surprised by this one, too. It snuck up on me, but Matt had run for Congress in that area and had built up some pretty significant name ID, evidently. You know, I think we saw something similar happen in northern Arizona, where Wendy Rogers, who'd run for Congress so many times, knocked out Sylvia Allen, the longtime lawmaker up in Snowflake. So there may be something to, you know, starting out at that congressional level and perhaps not succeeding, but being able to capitalize on that down the road if you're running for something a little less high profile.
There will be three new faces on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, and that's going to change the dynamic. I'll make a prediction right now. Chuck Huckleberry's contract will be renewed. You heard it right here on the Buckmaster Show. And I'm telling you, at least for a year to get through the COVID situation. Dan and Jim, your reaction to the Buckmaster prediction?
I would say if they had four Democrats in January, that probably wouldn't be an issue at all, and it would be a good idea, but I can imagine only that that Chuck's probably wanting to retire here at some point pretty soon and enjoy himself in a little different way.
What do you think, Jim?
Well, he has been doing it for close to 20 years as county administrator, which is several lifetimes in a political cycle. You've seen how much turnover we've had at the city of Tucson, for example, over that same period of time, where city managers last two or three years, with the exception of our current guy, Mike Ortega, who seems to be holding out a little longer. I think certainly he probably is looking forward to retirement, but I think he has a sense of responsibility of the county and would definitely want to steer us through this this COVID crisis. I was actually at the county center over on Keno today to get a COVID test, and I have to say that is extraordinarily operation. Appointments are not hard to come by. Just register right online. Can get the same day or usually the next day if you can't get the same day. And it's I wouldn't say a pleasant process having that swab up your nose. It's quite a tickle when it gets in there, but it's not painful. And I think that's all going to tie into the contract tracing and all the rest. So,
I was just going to say, let us know, you know, how it comes out, and best wishes to you.
But
you,
I will say, I'm entirely asymptomatic.
That's what I wanted to say. You've had no symptoms, right?
So. No. I just thought it would be interesting to find out.
All right. Let's welcome now Laura Conover. She will be the new face, one of the new faces in Pima County government. This is a major change in direction. For the first time in 40 years in the Pima County Attorney's Office, starting with Steve Neely, then one of Neely's disciples, Barbara LaWall, taking over, and now Laura Conover winning in that three-way Democratic primary. Congratulations, Laura.
Thank you so much, and it's good to be with all three of you. And yes, Jim, you'll have to let us know.
Yes. Yeah. Laura, what was the key to your victory?
Well, looking at the numbers more closely this morning, I think what's important to take away is that the really big victor is criminal justice reform. Reform was part of all three platforms, and voter turnout was very high, so it's clear we have an absolute mandate for bringing in criminal justice reform, and I'm very honored to be the one to do that in a responsible and meaningful way.
All right, let's bring in Dan Scheer.
I want to ask you about the first of all, congratulations, terrific. DTAP, that is the drug treatment alternative to prison, which is already in place in the county. So if you are a drug addicted criminal defendant, you can plead guilty and get treatment instead of heading off to jail. What would you do with that program? Keep it intact, expand it, do away with it?
That's the one program that's proprietary inside the Pima County Attorney's Office. So the other programs I'm looking at are grant-based, and so there's restrictions on making big changes. But DTAP is the one that's always been the huge question mark as to why there are just not nearly enough people in it. And so the real question there is going to be, why are we spending a fortune and just not getting outcome-based results? So that's the first place we need to look at, whether we need significant expansion or whether we need to make alterations at its foundational core.
Jim Nintzel, question.
Yeah, Laura, talk a little bit about what your plans are in terms of criminal justice reform. How is the office going to be different under you compared to how it was under Barbara?
Well, because treatment is a third of the cost, I really believe we're going to have some significant resources to play with, which is always good, moving forward in a new chapter. I think also after 40 years, there's significant buildup in administrative overhead that's just inevitable after 40 years. So I really do, I'm looking very closely at that budget and what we're going to be able to do going forward, because at its base, criminal justice reform is reframing the priorities of the budget. So the biggest change that I think people are going to see immediately is the creation of a fraud unit that we haven't had in there in 20 years. And I want it to be robust. I want half of it to be looking closely at fraud and scam that's just going on broadly. And, you know, Dan and I have talked about that a lot.
Yes.
And then I also want it to be consumer protection. I want it to be a place where vulnerable populations in our community can call and report and simply ask for help. You know, I think there's something wrong going on with my wages, for example. So there's so much, I think, customer service-oriented philosophy that we can bring in and make the office more accessible and more present and resonate more with the actual needs of the community as we grow forward.
All right, Laura, congratulations, and I appreciate you calling in. We're trying to set something up for one of our Friday roundtables where we can spend some more time with you in early September, and by then you'll probably have some more to talk to us about for the future of the office. But again, we wish you congratulations, all the best, and look for a robust time with us here on the Buckmaster Show in the future and during your tenure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, all three of you. Be well.
Thanks a lot. Laura Conover, she will be the new Pima County Attorney in January. We're going to take our break here, then we will talk some more with Jim Nintzel and Dan Scheer. It's the Buckmaster Show, the day after the primary. Be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. Boy, this hour is just flying by. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. You can start planning for your trip to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from the Tucson area. You can start planning at southwestnewmexico.org, so you will be ready when the Land of Enchantment once again welcomes out-of-state visitors to the area, and you'll find everything you need for your visit to Silver City, where to stay and what to do, at southwestnewmexico.org. Jim Nintzel with us on the live line, and Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun is with me in studio. Nintzel, of course, longtime editor at the Tucson Weekly. Jim, Let's go back now to the Pima County Supervisors, the board there, and the District 1, that's my district. Steve Spain, he was the choice of retiring Supervisor Allie Miller. Would you call it somewhat of an upset beating Rhonda Pena, the Oro Valley Town Council member?
Well, you know, this was a Republican primary, and I think the worst thing anyone can say about you in a Republican primary in Pima County is that you are associated with Chuck Huckleberry or with Democrats. And I think she got tagged with that reputation, having worked for Ramon Valadez's campaign as the treasurer, having received campaign contributions from Chuck Huckleberry for her campaign in the Oro Valley Town Council races. And in general, you know, her husband's engineering firm had done quite a bit of work for Pima County over the years. So I think she had to overcome that whole charge that she was, you know, a Huckleberry plant or a Huckleberry stooge in this race, and that's very challenging in a Republican primary. Steve Spain, I think, without any kind of political experience, though, really came through this, you know, at the top, and you got to say he was running against, you know, there was a former state lawmaker in there with Vic Williams. There was a former Pima County Republican Party chair with Bill Beard, and you know, the voters clearly decided, you know, and this vote was split, you know, four ways. So I can't remember Steve's exact percentage, but I think it was in the mid-30s. But that was enough to carry him over some very experienced politicians. So, you know, kudos to him. And that Miller endorsement clearly means something in that district.
Now, this could be a problem for Spain. And here's where I'm going with that, Jim and Dan. And Dan, I want to hear your thoughts on that. It's not too far-fetched to think about Rhonda Pena and her forces coalescing around the Democrat Rex Scott. And if that happens, I'm telling you, the difference now between Republicans and Democrats in District 1 is only about 3,000 registered voters.
Yeah, Steve Spain is sunk if that happens, and I can see it happening. I led a forum up there for Supervisor District 1 a few weeks ago, and immediately one of the candidates brought up exactly what Jim was talking about and Rhonda Pena's connections to Democrats, and the room was not happy about it, and I would say that he's right on in saying that that's what may have hurt her quite a bit in the end, but I can see her for sure not supporting Steve Spain, but whether they now rally the troops and go against him and go for Rex Scott, very, very real possibility.
What do you think, Jim?
Well, she sent out an email today conceding the race and congratulating him and wishing him the best. So we'll see if that changes between now and when the early ballots start to drop. But I do think, you know, we're going to have to see exactly what the turnout ends up being in this election in November. But there's certainly talk of a blue wave and some Democrats even talking about a blue tsunami. And if that happens, I think District 1 is in play. Rex Scott is a former school administrator up there. He was a Republican. He switched over to the Democratic Party, so he certainly would be probably acceptable to some of the moderate Republicans who live in that district, and certainly attractive to independent voters. And I think he has some pretty good name ID from the work he's done in some of the high schools up in that, or middle schools or whatever schools he was working in up there in the district. So, you know, I think this is one where you actually could see a Democrat win this race, but we're going to have to see exactly how both the campaigns go. But this one's, I would say, leaning into toss-up territory. Yep. You know, probably lean Republican, but it could move into toss-up territory.
But I think we also shouldn't overlook Steve Spain's strongest trait, and that is he is a confident speaker, and he knows how to rally the troops. And so he can convince you, and I saw him do it with this crowd there. He looks him in the eye, and he speaks with authority and conviction. And I thinks for some people right now, maybe that's what they want to hear. So absolutely, I agree that it could be a toss-up, but right now, you know, probably his way, but we'll see.
All right, the
I would say advantage there, and I just want to add, Dan, real quick, I was impressed that you handled that debate up there without a hazmat suit on, given the lack of masks, and in fact, the hostility towards masks in that room. Hats off to you.
We have to say that was held the day all the mask stuff now was mandated by the state or by the county. So that very day, people were a little put off.
All right, real quickly, a couple of races I want your opinion on. Only have now about 4 minutes. Nanos, Sheriff Napier rematch. If there's a blue wave, Dan, could Nanos be back as sheriff?
Boy, we're going to have to relive those, 15, 16, whatever it was, months of the Nanos era again over the next few months. And we'll see how much it reminds people of what an awful situation it was. A lot of it inherited. And we should point that out. So, but he's going to have to answer for it. And there was a lot of rough things that happened during that time. Napier is a Republican in a Democratic county. And so that's going to be his toughest slog.
Jim, real quickly on that one.
You know, Napier did pull off the upset last time, and he hasn't been a Joe Arpaio kind of sheriff. He's been a very moderate about those kinds of immigration issues and whatnot, because he's aware he has to win over independents and some Democrats in this district. We'll see if Chris Nanos has gotten better on the campaign trail, because I don't think he acquitted himself well in that role the last time out.
I don't see Ann Kirkpatrick doing a lot of campaigning against Brandon Martin. Do you, Jim and Dan?
You know, the way things are leaning in terms of the lead of the Democrats on the generic ballot around here, I think Brandon Martin is a long shot, but I'm sure Kirkpatrick is not going to act like a rabbit waiting for that turtle to overtake her. I imagine she'll still be out there doing her best to get out the vote. Plus, you know, they want to get out the vote for Mark Kelly, and anything that helps boost Kirkpatrick helps boost Mark Kelly.
Well, CD2 has always been very competitive, and Brandon Martin, of course, this is his second time around, and he had got more money together this time than I thought he would, and I was surprised that he beat Eric Rudin, quite frankly, even though Eric was a newcomer and didn't have the name recognition. But I don't know that it's going to be a cakewalk, and she's certainly going to have to be out there. But we'll just see how Brandon handles this going forward. And this should be a very, very interesting race.
Congratulations to Gabriela Casares-Kelly, the first Tohono O'odham person, a Native American tribal member, to ever win an election in Pima County.
Worked hard, was out there a lot, and was talking about not just that, her background, but also what she can do and bring to the office.
But she does have an opponent in the general, I believe, right?
Betty White,
yeah.
Who I think we're all familiar with from
yes.
His work with Election Integrity, and his wife was the former chair of the Pima County Republican Party. But I think this is going to be a tough year for any Republican to win in Pima County, but I don't think Benny will make it a race.
I think
Benny will make it a race.
Thank you, Jim. Final thought, Dan?
You know what? I want to mention our friend Joe Ferguson, who's been on the show many times,
yes.
And he lost his his constable job. And I will tell you this. He jumped into it, Bill, and he was identified some issues, jumped on them. And I really appreciate that about him. He did a great job while he was in there.
We want to wish Joe all the best. Jim, thank you very much for coming on the program today.
It was a pleasure to talk with you guys. Let's move on to the general.
There you go. Dan Scheer, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on a very jam-packed day after the primary. Thank you very much to Steve Kasachek at the beginning of the program with a little bit of news saying the city of Tucson now is reconsidering. You may see parks reopen next week in the city of Tucson. A little bit of news coming out of our interview with Steve Kay at the top of the show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks and Dan Scheer with me in studio, have a great afternoon.